Hey guys, welcome to Greek Tragedy. Stumbled that one almost. It's psychology without the science, except I feel like today we're gonna get into like some psychology stuff because of what I kind of...
We're talking about love.
Love, but also the L word. That and like nature versus nurture and like how that affects somebody's perception of love. Yeah. Which I was hesitant to like do an actual like outline of what I want to do philosophy wise, but I feel like having these like breaks sometimes of talking about other stuff can be like really beneficial to not only us but the audience as well.
To you guys.
Yeah, which also I saw we have 111 total plays. So thank you for that. We really appreciate it. I don't know why that's kind of a shocking number to me. Sometimes I'm like, wow, people actually care about us, Anna.
Yay.
It's kind of people actually care about our thoughts and stuff or whatnot. But yeah, I feel like we're just gonna let this podcast episode go in whatever direction we cease it to be. But the first thing I wanted to brush up on is kind of like nature versus nurture and how that affects your characteristics or whatnot. If to anybody's unfamiliar to that concept, which I feel like we're all kind of familiar, but I'm reading this off of an article called verywellmind.com, but nature refers to all of the genes and hereditary factors that influence who we are, from our physical appearance to our personality characteristics. So I feel like that's just like your parents, like literally your genes. Like that's the science part of that, the nature. And the nurture refers to all the environmental variables that impact who we are, including our early childhood experiences, how we are raised, our social relationships, and our surrounding culture. So, do you think genetic or environmental factors have a greater influence on your behavior?
Well, that's a good question. I learned about this in my Psych 1 class during my spring semester. I mean, during the winter semester.
Go queen.
Fun fact, genes, like hereditary and heritability are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So hereditary being the actual genetics that come in your system, and that will have to do with... if we're talking about, like, substance abuse and addiction, like, that comes in your actual genes because of your parents. However, heredity is how, like, that ratio comes into play in your environment. So, like, if you're in a bad neighborhood, you will probably be, like, exposed to drugs and things like that. And so those genes will come out and express themselves more than not. And so when it comes to love, if we're thinking about it this way, like, if your parents... like, yeah, if they do love each other and that's kind of in their, like, in their mental capacity and they love you as a child.
And their environment.
Yeah. Like, that will come out in your environment. And so when you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you will treat them as your parents treated you and treated each other.
Isn't that great to have a psychologist on this podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Like, isn't it amazing?
Oh, yeah.
We have, like, one social sciences person and, like, one super sciencey person. The one that actually has to go through MCATs and stuff. I feel like here's my thing is like being raised the way I was for a long time, I didn't really see a reflection or a depiction of love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to get personal or anything, but I never really saw that because a lot of my childhood, there was like tension between my parents. Saw friends go into relationships that like were not love. They were more so like abusive and stuff. So being kind of surrounded by that, for me, it's always been like an environmental factor rather the importance of like nature and your hereditary stuff, which I think is fair to say. And I didn't really come to that conclusion until a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
The way you are raised is how you're going to treat people. And here's the thing. It's really hard to admit that, and especially to know that, because you can't change the people you're brought up with. Like,
right.
If you could, we would have a lot of less problems.
Would, yeah.
Yeah, people would. I mean, one person in my family I definitely would replace or whatever.
Right.
So for me, love... depiction of like relationships has always been skewed into a more negative sense, and I for a long time thought that I was not capable of being loved.
Sure.
or let alone loving somebody, because it was not in my mental capacity, since I didn't see a depiction of that until now, a couple months ago.
When we talk about our families and things like that, I'm really lucky to say I had a really fantastic childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my parents, even though they fought about random stuff, they still absolutely love each other, which is something that not many kids our age can say.
Yeah.
And so I was brought up with, like, being loved by two fantastic people. Like, I look up to my mom and dad, like...
Shout out to Shelly!
Shout out to Michelle and Barry.
Yes!
They're the best kind of parents that I could be given. I am the person I am today because of their love that they have given me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been really lucky to say that I transfer that love into everyone that I meet. And sometimes it can be too much love. And I've definitely been in a circumstance where I give it my all, and all I get is neglect. And so I get confused.
You try to compensate, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And so in one of the, I guess, past relationships, but someone I was in conversation with, I tried to figure out their problems and I wanted to get to know them. And they were not so down for having anything more than a surface level kind of conversation with me. And so even though we were... physically relatable, the emotions were just not there. And so because I was giving them so much emotionally, I didn't get much out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it hurt me more than it hurt them, kind of thing. And so I brought that love that I had learned, and I just didn't get anything from it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that you say that too, because I feel like this is a great way for people to learn, because there's like two people on like opposite sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
For me, like, I've always had to have, like, a deeper kind of thought process with somebody.
Yeah.
And I think the reason was because I was trying to compensate and differ from, like, what I was raised in with my parents. And there's a point to that where it does become a lot, because you give everything you have into this relationship and you give everything that you want. But to you, like, you personally or me, I'm so unfamiliar with, like, the concept of what love is. And, like, I remember, like, one of the first episodes I did with Chantal, and she was like, what if we're not, like, what if humans are not able or capable of, like, reaching that level of love? Because we were talking about Osho. I think we definitely are, and I think my only problem is differing love from lust and really, like, diving into, like, the nature of how I am grown up and, like, disassociating myself with that. Because the association part is really hard, because I was first like, oh, blood is thicker than water. Like, you have to, like, you are what your parents are, blah, blah, blah. And for me to differ from that necessarily is extremely, extremely difficult, since I'm very unfamiliar of, like, the concept of love, since there was never a reflection of it onto me.
Right.
When people had said they, like, liked me or, like, loved me, there's an infamous, like, thing, Hannah, I'm talking about somebody older than me who, like, yeah, okay, so... When that happened, I was like, but how? Like, we've only known each other for, like, a short period of time. And I was really confused, and I did not like this person back. So, to me, that was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I feel like the way you're raised really affects and skews the way you perceive and let alone proceed to love somebody.
For sure.
Because you're so unfamiliar with that concept. You know what I mean? Like... It's, and you can't blame the person. You can't blame me because I couldn't change the environmental factor or the environmental variable.
Right.
I was only a kid, you know?
Yeah. And like you literally just said kid, like, kids are sponges. I mean, even from birth, like, I'm learning in my psychology class right now, like, toddlers basically, like, I think they read signals more than adults can.
Oh, just yeah, 100%.
Their senses are so new, they recognize stress, and they recognize like that kind of empathy, and so when they go into the real world, they try to use it. And so, like, as kids, we knew what sadness was, but even now, like, we don't know how to react with it, because there are so many different variables other than, like, not having toys.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, with kids, you, like, give out what you receive. And so with that kind of love, like, you don't know how to deal with love. You just don't know.
And
it's never been real to you.
And you can't, like, and you can't, here's the thing is also, like, as being the person I am, like, I feel so bad for that. And, like, it's just, like, I have to realize, like, that's something that I can't change. And I feel like it has changed because I'm starting to kind of realize that I am worthy of love and I am, I am worthy of it even though I'm broken. But also I can't, like, say that I am broken because I feel like that just, like, ruins a whole entire concept. I feel like there are some people who are a full, beautiful, like, wine glass. And then there's me who has been dropped plenty of times and now we're putting back and taping or hot gluing, whatever adhesive you want to use it back together. And also when you are hot gluing yourself back together, you cannot depend on other people to do it for you.
Right. And that's the thing is, I feel like in 2014, when we were reading all those Tumblr posts, like, I'm literally...
Stop! The Fallen Our Stars one!
Yeah, the Fallen Our Stars, literally, like, I thought I knew what love was because of that goddamn movie, or because of that movie.
Yeah. Can we just talk about how, like, my problem with entertainment is, like, they reflect such a skewed version of love, and you, like, then play out those scenarios in your head, and you're like, oh my god, I would die for this person. I mean, I would die for some people, but, yeah, you know what I mean, like...
Yeah, I mean, like, I always think about Hazel Grace's speech, like, of Augustus's eulogy, and she was saying that some infinities are bigger than other infinities, and I'm grateful for our little infinity. Not like I'm, like, tearing up right now, but, like, she knew what love was because her life was so short. Like, they were dying of cancer, and all they could do was love each other. And they went to Amsterdam and had the time of their lives, and...
And you know, also, they did not, like, depend on each other.
Right, because they were their own person, but they found each other at a really good common ground. And because they loved each other, like, they could be their own people.
Here's the thing, is, like, I definitely am an independent person. Like, I have, like, two jobs that I work. I volunteer and, like, intern, whatever. But I feel like with that all, too, is there's a sense of, like, reliance or, like, a false reliance that you curate. Because you're, like, you think that the reason you're unhappy is because of this validation circumstance. But also, I've kind of matured enough to realize that, like, you shouldn't, like, project yourself onto other people and, like, validate. Like, I feel like if you're... lucky enough to be in a relationship or partnership with somebody, there needs to be a complete silence of dependence.
Yeah. I mean,
also, you're your own person, you know?
There is that fine line of dependence because you should rely on your person to love you regardless, even though you might be depressed or might, you know, have your internal problem because they are that person that you need to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are that kind of person that you should rely on. However, if you stop relying on yourself for self-soothing, then you get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Really quick, I want to bring up some philosophers because it is a philosophy podcast.
Oh, right.
Our favorite Western philosopher, actually not my favorite, like one of my least favorites, Plato and Descartes. Yeah. So... they were kind of, like, the first two people, or, like, not first people, like, one of the few people to, like, recognize that some traits, some things happen naturally.
Sure.
And I agree with that, but there's a part where John Locke, in one of his books, says something about tabula rasa. And tabula... sounds like tabbouleh, like the salad. Tabula rasa... is that the mind actually enters the world with nothing. And everything that it has is curated by the environmental factor, which is, I think, what I lean into. Because I do believe that there are some things that are hereditary and that's something you, like, do get from your parents.
Yeah.
But personally speaking and from my experience with it, I think it is tabula rasa. You can't stop laughing at that. Because think about it. Like, your experience growing up, mine, completely, completely different. And... that kind of also makes the quote, everything happens for a reason, like, very true and in, like, an emphasis on that, which I, like, if I can't, I have to live by that quote. Like, I literally, like, breathe,
live
and, like, breathe live that quote. Live, love, whatever. Yeah, but I don't know. Do you think tabula rasa is, like, a foolish concept to believe in? Or do you think more like Plato and Descartes, like, there are some things that are, like, naturally inborn?
I think when people, like, rely on the stars and, like, astrology to, like, base their personalities of someone.
Literally.
I don't know.
This was going to come up some episode.
Yeah, somehow it's some episode. Here it is. Astrology and love.
We're going to get doxxed by, like, the astrology girls, and they're going to be like, I'm sorry, who are these people?
The thing is, I just don't understand.
Can you tell them what you told me about astronomy?
Oh, with astronomy? Oh, fun fact. The astrology signs are actually off because the Earth rotates at a 5-degree axis, so every couple of years the astrology dates change. I'm so sorry, you may or may not be a Virgo. May or may not be.
You heard it here first. Hannah Polterak is disputing every single claim about astrology.
Facts.
And that's what I was, like, shaming you. If you believe in that and you're really passionate about that, like, please go for that.
Honestly, like, teach me, because I am really pessimistic about it, because I just don't believe those kinds of stereotypes exist. Like,
uh-huh.
All of those are pretty plain, like, you're an optimist. You are funny.
Period. Yeah, literally.
So, like, I just don't... Anyway, back to what you're talking about. I just don't think that kind of formula can be existent, because with humans, we have free will and that kind of nature. And bring back to even nature and nurture, like, you make your decisions. And I remember bringing back to the Tumblr quotes. I read a thing that was, like, your first love is the ignorant one. Your second love is, like, is...
The one you learn from?
The one you learn from. And then your third one's your final love.
Guess what? You're quoting Osho. Another love philosopher. Oh, really? Yeah. Actually, that I have his book. It's called Osho, Being in Love. Thank you, Chantal. Chantal probably does not listen to this, but if she does, hey, shout out to you. Should I force her to listen to this for, like, a little shout out at 1629?
1629, there we go.
Yeah. Hey, Chantal, I'm going to send you a text. This is in the future, or this is in the past. Look out for this.
Ooh.
Ooh.
yeah, but, like, I don't know if that kind of formula is real. And it totally might be. And, like, even if your quote-unquote love is 1, 2, or 3, like, you, I believe that everyone deserves love. Like, regardless of your actions, like, everyone needs to find someone. And it makes me so sad when girls, Ava, are like, I don't deserve love. Like, fuck you. Like,
bro. frick you.
Frick you.
That's what she said.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you do deserve it.
Yeah, I feel like there's some people who I'm just like, maybe not, but yeah, I know, like, I get where you're coming from. I think that as a society, we have no control over putting blame on certain circumstances and certain situations, so we have this, like, blame game where it's like, if this doesn't happen, it's because of astrology. If this doesn't happen, it's because of my circumstances. If this happens, and I think the only one that's actually really excusable is the nurture one, because that, like, you cannot change an environmental variable. Unless you're, like, 18 and have, like, the willpower to move out, or you're 16 and get emancipated. Like, that to me is the one excuse that it's, like, you can't change the way you were brought up with.
Yeah.
And nor should you change the way you were brought up with. Because everything that you grew up with, I think, happens for a reason and only lets you be stronger, you know?
And I completely agree with that. Like, also, people learn from their mistakes. Like, our second boyfriend over here, like, I definitely have learned... I can't confidently say that I've loved every single man I've been in contact with.
However, or dating, yeah.
Or dated, like, even if it's considered dating, like, I think that I've learned a lot from each of them. And with humans in general, you know, you learn what you like, and you learn what you absolutely hate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as you become an adult from your teen life, you... get away from being this horny teenager to someone who looks for a real connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I can confidently say that you and I have looked for that genuine connection a lot earlier than most have.
Yeah. No, 100%. And I feel like that is also curated by the fact that we did mature, like, super early. Like, we started college early.
Skirt.
We started studying things that normal, like, 18-year-olds, like,
normal
don't.
Normal teenagers don't make podcasts about psychology.
Or, like, philosophy. I just know that there's going to be, like, some person who watches this and they're going to be like, why are they talking about psychology and philosophy? Like, why is this interesting to them? But I literally, like, the reason I find it so interesting is because this gives an explanation. And humans always need an explanation.
That's very true.
And
it's a human condition.
And people only realize they need an explanation after they stop giving into like the BS that society feeds them.
Right.
Astrology.
Yeah, I mean, to bring it back to like
Scientology,
the kind of BS in society, like I think with the hookup culture especially, I think that it's such a toxic environment for kids to crave quote unquote love, but they never even find it until they're not looking for it. Because in high school, you don't.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's like, I'm all for, like, woman liberation, like, getting with who you want. Like, if you think that, like, that's a good move for you and, like, hookup culture is, like, whatever, like, that's great. Like, I don't have any problem with that. For me, it's, like, more so if you're trying to really genuinely find, like, a deep connection and a sense of, like, a person that can grow with you, that's just, frankly, not going to happen from, like, a one-night stand in my experience. I mean, not that I've had one,
honestly,
but like
if that happens to you, honestly, kudos, because I've never heard of that.
Yeah, honestly, if you have had that, like, please swipe up on both of our Instagrams, because I'm actually genuinely curious to hear more about that.
I want to know, like, the method to your madness, because honestly, that's so rare.
I wonder if there's like a research study on that. We should look that up.
One-night stands and falling actually in love.
Wait, yeah, that's actually,
I mean, look it up. Like,
honestly,
I have a feeling
there's probably some, like, miracle of, like, there's probably a YouTube video where somebody's like, story time, how I fell in love with my one-night stand.
That's actually crazy, because also I feel like the rebound in the one-night stands have that same, they're on the same level of just, like, absolutely no emotional connection. However, if you, and like I said, there is no formula. Like, if things happen, things just happen. Like, you fall in love with people who you didn't even expect to slide in your DMs. Or you didn't even know they existed. And so you have these crazy connections with people. Like, I didn't even know you a year ago.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you existed.
Can we just, like, give a second? I met Hannah through my friend, Sean. Shout out to Sean at 2138. You should tell him to listen to this.
I've asked him to listen
to this. I have better things said. I have to go play soccer with Robbie. No, but me and Hannah, like, instantly clicked. And we didn't, like, hang out for, like, a couple months. And then we pulled up to New York City, so.
And then, yeah, yep, and we.
We had the best time of our lives.
We did, and we really did, because there was no formula for that.
There, do you know how, like, great it is to just meet somebody, like, not through Instagram, not through anything, and just, like, click with them? I think that's so, like, weird. A God-given gift that we now don't, we take for granted, because everything happens through online.
Yeah, that's true.
And we started losing that, like, genuine, like, friendship, connection, engagement, shebang-bang.
Yeah. And especially because everything with COVID, like, we're not in school together, like, nothing is in person, so everything was online, so even more so, like, I think it's because we made the effort to actually hang out. Like, we hang out once a week to do this podcast, but we do something with it.
Also, Hannah and I are same person, different fonts.
Yeah.
Like, we've kind of realized that, like, I'm her emo child, and she's, like, the sophisticated mom.
And you're, like, I don't even know, like...
You're the script. You're the blueprint.
Yeah.
I'm the blueprint that they follow when blueprint gets stolen by the other team.
Fair.
And they're kind of like, this is a janky blueprint, but we're going to follow
okay.
it. Yeah. And then they combine the two and they get the mission solved.
A fantastic poem.
Exactly. Period. Oh, okay, I thought I said period.
It's okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think this, like, kind of wraps up the whole entire podcast. This is Nature versus Nurture, Plato, Descartes, John Locke, love thing. But yeah, tune in next week. We'll be back to regular programming, dragging Hannah to listen. No, not to listen, to conversate and engage with actual philosophy. Yeah, so thanks for being here, y'all.
Yeah, and if anyone is actually listening, please DM us. I'm curious who you are. My Instagram is hannah.poltorak, H-A-N-N-A-H, period, P-O-L-T-O-R-A-K. DM me, please.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to DM me, it's ava.vonn. Just changed my name to Ava Vaughn, so.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay, adios.
Bye.
Bye.